Banks Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company.
Very good evening to you. Rob Pritchard here, looking to take you through the latest sporting results around the island here on Saturday Sport Classifieds. We have the second week of the Manx footballing season, but also the first week as well of the Isle of Man hockey season, the mixed leagues to be precise. One of the island rugby teams has also been in action across the water. We'll be hoping to hear more details about that later on. Plenty to come this evening. It's all to come. Hope you've had a wonderful Saturday. Plenty going on around the island in sporting terms at the moment, and without further ado, we'll take a look to some of the footballing scores we've had around the island so far today. Tony Meppen, thanks very much once again for joining us.
My pleasure, and we're just taking on board the scores and what's gone on and everything. Some shocks going. We don't want to spoil it for everyone, so I think you've got the classified results there, and you're going to rattle off what we've got.
Well, I do have some details in front of me. I think I'm still waiting for a couple of results to come through. Maybe we can just take a look through them at some point. But anyway, kicking things off, the Canada Life Premier League, Ayr 7 and Douglas All Boys 1.
And it was in that game, Jay White got the goal for Douglas High School All Boys. But All Boys scored 5 last week. Good performance by them, but today overcome by a very strong Ayr United side. And Sean Kelly with 4. Sean's back. And a nice sort of 4 goals to start the football season for him, 21-22. Danny Oram got a couple of goals, and Nick White scored from a free kick. Now, most people are saying Nick White, he plays in goal. Well, evidently, he took a free kick from the halfway line. I don't think he's any relation to Jay White, but they live in, or used to live in, the same part of the country. But Nick caught the goalkeeper out, went into the back of net, and a super score for Ayr United, 7-1 winners against Old Boys.
It's not very often that you see something like that. And Ayr United, funnily enough, last weekend I was watching their clash with Corinthians down at Bala Fletcher. A draw there it was, and I was struck by the discipline they showed defensively against a much changed Corinthians side, it must be said. But to come off the back of that as well against last season's champions and hit 7, that must be a real positive for them.
Well, it is, and you know, Ayr United, where you've got Nick Hurt there, you've also got Rick Holden, manager, coach. It's always going to be well organised now, and there are good players there. You know, when you look at Sean Kelly, you know, a lot of people say, why isn't he playing for the island? Why isn't he playing for FC Isle of Man? You know, Sean's got to want it. You know, at times I've heard that reason why he's not been included, because he's been away, hasn't had time, and you accept that sort of thing. But certainly Danny Oram, he's a great goal scorer, and the partnership there between the two of them, 6 between the two today, shows that it could be fruitful for Ayr United throughout the season. But Old Boys, that'll be a bit of a shock, because last week when they won sort of 5-3, they just thought to themselves, 5-2, sorry, they thought to themselves, we might be in with a chance here to finish for Railway Cup, but it's not going to happen at the moment, because with those 7 goals they conceded, that's a big defeat.
Early days, of course, though, but
yeah, so.
Some good points raised there. Moving on slightly, Laxey 5, Corinthians 1.
Yeah, it's not very often Corinthians lose a game, but today they've been well and truly beaten. Aaron Bradley with 1 for Laxey, George Burrows on the score sheet as well. Ryan Garland scored against his old team. Michael Fernandez got 1, and Harry Walters got the other goal. Danny Oram, I think, got it back to 3-1. They were 3-0 up at one stage, Laxey. But yeah, there's a bit of soul searching to be done for the Whites, I think, because that's a big defeat, because even though they've lost a lot of players, the squad that's there, I saw the team today and I just thought that's still a very, very strong squad. So whatever's gone wrong, let's put it down to a good performance for Laxey, and it keeps Laxey sort of joint top of the table. So a good start by them.
Yeah, definitely a good performance there for Laxey. But you say they're Corinthians, you know, they've still got a strong squad despite a massive amount of changes. What do you think just isn't quite clicking at the moment? Their first 2 games are on the back of being champions, but they're yet to secure that first win. What's not quite working out at the moment?
Well, I think when you look at the goal, well, you can't blame the goalkeeper, because you know, Kill's been in great form, but you know, Matthew Quirk played a lot of the games last year, and then Adam Killier came in, so I can't blame them. I look at last year's back 4, there's only 1 there out of the 4, because you're missing Chrissy Cannell, you're missing Ryan Burns, who was in there as well, and also Cam Lee. But when you look at the four boys up front, 134 goals between the four of them, that's where the big problem is, because they knew that was something that they had to try, and if you like, camouflage, because they've got no one there who can sort of score the amount of goals that they need. And today it didn't happen. Midfield's pretty well near enough the same. Okay, you've got Steve Whitley and Dan Simpson there, but the players that are there, when you look at Tom Callister, Danny Gerrard, Conor Gorman, Josh Ridings, Kane Ridings, not all of them played today. They're still good players. So, you know, defensively is a bit of a problem. They're playing players out of position. No excuses. Great performance. Laxey have to finish, and they've done it today. They finished five times.
And further north in the Premier League, a bit of a tighter result, as it were. Ramsey 1, Union Mills 0.
Yeah, and Union Mills absolutely gutted. And this is like a deja vu in the FA Cup last season, because, what was it, 4-3 in the end, I think it was. Ramsey beat Union Mills, and I think it was Ramsey scored right towards the end, and that's what happened today. Ramsey, Jamie Corlett it was, who got the goal, and it was in the last few minutes of the game. So, you know, Union Mills, I think, knew when they came up that they were going to be in that sort of, if you like, bottom half, and at the moment, okay, they haven't got any points on the table, but I think once the full strength team is out there, Stephen Fox will be able to do a little bit more with it. But take nothing away from Ramsey. We said at the end of last season they were showing good promise, and it's filtered into it this season, because they're on maximum points as well at the top of the table, and a right good little battle going on between clubs you didn't expect to be there.
Suppose that's part of the spice of football sometimes. If some of the regular names aren't at the top at the current time, then it just makes it a bit more of an open playing field, as it were. Please excuse the
the pun on that one.
Less than 15 minutes into the show and I'm bringing out the puns. Anyway, moving on. Russian versus Rykov. That finished Russian 6, Rykov 1.
Yeah, good performance by Russian, and defensively looked solid again. And Ashley Blake, at the moment, scoring for fun. One last week, one for him today, centre-back. Mikey Williams, good to see Mikey back and fit. Two goals for him. Fura Davies, he got a goal. He got the fifth one. And Aaron Hawley got two. And one was from the penalty spot. So a good performance by Russian. If you could text us through, please, 166177. We haven't got Ramsey U Centre's goal scorer, but tough day in the office today for them.
I believe it was Harry Grant. Okay. Is what I've been told is the scorer there. That's what I'm hearing at the moment. But yeah, a sizeable gap there, and especially 4-0 at half time. What do you think could have been the real kicker that took it to that hefty of a scoreline, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, just after 45
well,
minutes?
Well, your point's proven there. Mike Williams, FC Isle of Man player, played today. Two goals by him. Fura Davies, he got one as well. You know, when you've got people who know how to score, then it takes the pressure off your midfield and your back four, and that's what's happened sort of today. Fura Davies is a beast. You know, he's whatever, 6'4", solid, tricky. He's a really good player. That's why he's playing for FC Isle of Man. But I don't think he's played in all the games, so he's opportunity today to play for his club side, and he's done it. And Russian will be pleased with that, but it's back to square one next week, I think, when FC Isle of Man play Stockport. So again, some of the players that have played today for their clubs will come out of it, and then it's you know, unsure of what's going to happen. But Russian against Ramsey U Centre, they're expected to win that, so it's not as if it's a bonus ball. But the next result we're coming up to is an incredible result, and you know, well done to them.
And Douglas Royal 2, Peel 0.
Yeah, and it was 0-0 at half time, and I did say that I wasn't too chuffed with Peel's performance last week, and today it was a little bit the same by the look of it, because Douglas Royal were 2-0 up, and the star today was Dom Smith, and reports in Harry Horbury, who's not the tallest of goalkeepers but a superb goalkeeper, had a game of his life today, and well done to him. Peel, we haven't got their goal scorer, but it's just, you know, a problem once again for them, because Douglas Royal, a side that expected to struggle down towards the bottom. I believe Sam Baines played today, so that's a big, big plus for them. He's, you know, he's a gift in that centre midfield, puts it around nicely, and again, Dom's come up trumps, scoring two goals. So, cracking result for Douglas Royal, but a bit more pressure for Peel.
Very much so. Anyway, moving on to the Canada Life Combi 1. I believe I do have this in front of me. Douglas Allboys 3, Air 4.
Yeah, and it was 3-1 to Allboys at half-time. So, terrific turnaround in the second half by Air United. Air United's goal scorers were Leon Crowe with one. Phil Dunnigan got a goal. Alex Reid got one. And an own goal for Allboys. It was Jake Watterson on the score sheet. John Gartland, I think that's young John, got a goal. And Mark Wolfenden, playing for Allboys now, got the other one. So a good result for Air United. And Allboys would be disappointed to let that half-time lead of 3-1 slip.
It's a cracking result. And exactly the same scoreline in another game as another eventful one. Corinthians 3, Laxey 4.
Yeah, and it was Laxey's winner was scored in the last minute. I haven't got Laxey's goal scorers, but for Corinthians, it was Callum Taylor. There's a good young player. I think he's 16, 17 coming through. Tony Edgar's not so young, but still scoring goals. And Lewis Radcliffe, another good young player coming through the ranks, got the third goal there for Corinthians. But the league champions from last year, when you think, played 22, this year at the moment, struggling a little bit. And the young players coming in, they've got to learn the craft. And there's nothing better than playing in the Premier League or Combination One. And that's what they've done today.
Big experience for them, no doubt.
Yeah.
Going back out west again for other results in that division. Peel 3, Douglas Royal 0.
Yeah, and it was 1-0 to Peel at half-time. Ethan Herbert on the score sheet again. Kenzo Senior got one. Joe Crookall got the other one. Well done, Joe. A little bit of a story. There's time, maybe not for you, but there's time for me yet. Stephen Corkle, 52 years of age, played his first game in 7 years. And well done to Steve. I'm sure he's going to be a little bit stiff tomorrow morning. And also Cliffy Dunn is another player who I played against. And Cliffy, what a touch this is, playing in the same team as his son Izzy. So hopefully photographs were taken there. It's always nice when you see a father and son playing the same team, but it just shows you where Peel are at the moment, certainly at Combination Football, struggling for a few players at the moment. And bringing two real season pros in, two excellent players, but age does catch her up. And well done, Steve. Well done, Cliffy. And good luck on the rehab.
Well, along with that, though, but as it's a perfect example that sometimes age is just a number in terms of the impact you can have. But yeah, excellent stuff. There are two games here that I personally don't have the result in front of me, but you might be able to shed more light
on
this.
I've got one in. Uni Mills against Ramsey. It was Uni Mills 5, Ramsey 3. No more information on that one there, Rob. Ramsey, you sent her against Russian. I'm trying to get the result if I can. And nothing has come through yet. No, nothing come through. So someone can text us through 166 177 with that Ramsey, you sent her against Russian Combination One score, please.
Excellent. Yeah, please keep on sending those results straight through to us. Okay, moving on to Division 2, Jim's 2, St John's 5.
And no goal scorers for Jim's, there's no surprise there. For St John's, Callum Taggart with a hat-trick, well done Callum. And Will Penhulric, new signing for St John's, second game for them. And two goals, and he's got a Masters game to play tomorrow, so early to bed please, Will, because I want you in good form tomorrow.
Wonder how they'll feel on Monday morning.
Will's pretty fit, he's a good player, but you know, Callum's still a young lad, he's only 30 years of age. But it's just painting a picture a little bit of Division 2, isn't it? That's another good result for St John's against a team like Jim's, who've gained one or two good players. I know Glenn didn't play today, but they're a lot stronger than last season, so just maybe shows you where the team that was relegated are in Division 2 and playing quite well.
Maybe some positive there going forward. Again, another result I don't have in front of me, but Colby versus Paul Rose.
Yeah, Colby haven't got a Division 2 team, so that game doesn't start. There's not a game there. Colby have just got that one team in Combination 2 now.
Righto. And another one again, if you can shed some light, Governors Athletic and Maloo.
Yeah, we're trying to get this score through, and I've got it here through now. In Division 2, and it was Governors 2, Maloo 3. Thanks, Simon, for the score. Governors scorers were Kyle Jackson and Jack Caron. So, closer game than I thought, because Maloo are a team that everyone's tipping to possibly win this league. And, you know, Governors are playing really well, so another good performance today. Not the result that they wanted, but to lose out to one of the top teams just 3-2 just shows you how well they're playing. So, well done to everyone there.
Yeah, close game indeed. Michael versus Foxdale.
Yeah, Michael 0, Foxdale 5. Aaron Castain with 2, Jay Chatwood with 1, Jack Smith got 1, and Alex Hughes got the other one. So Foxdale 5-0 winners.
And moving on again, Douglas Athletic and Douglas and District. Slightly earlier kickoff as well, this was, wasn't it? As well as a 2 p.m. as opposed to a half 2.
This one was 2:30 because this one's on grass, but I haven't got Athletic's goal scorers. But for Douglas and District, Sam Tipper with 3. Now, Sam's been around quite a while. He's not particularly old, but by all accounts, his first ever hat-trick in senior football. So if that's right, I think Sam should buy the beers. They were 3-1 up, Douglas and District with 25 minutes to go, so they'll be gutted that they conceded those 2 goals in the last 25 minutes. But against Athletic, I still think it's a fair result for D&D, and well done to Sam.
Very much so. And last but certainly not least, in this division, a 9-goal thriller by the looks of it. Braddon 3, Onken 6.
Yeah, and Braddon, Ogden it was, who got 2 of the goals. I think it was Connor Dempsey got the other one. It was a great first 20 minutes this game, because I had a bit of everything. Onken scored, I think it was 2 or 3 goals, first 20-25. You know, Braddon were right in it. They had some chances and they couldn't get the ball over the line. Barry English got 2. Tom Creer, substitute, he got 1. Greg Taylor got 1. Good goal by Greg. But I'll tell you what, let's just write this name down and let's keep a track on it. Ashton Canson. Now, if the information's right, Ashton Canson played last week for the combination and scored a hat-trick. Today he was promoted into the first team. He was unbelievable. He was absolutely brilliant, and he's not particularly tall, but my word, can he play football? Can he pass a ball? He's got everything, and he can head as well. So well done to Ashton. He's 16 years of age from what I'm hearing, and I think he's a big name for the future if he can progress like that, because he caused a lot of problems today, and I just love seeing a young lad coming in and just taking the game to them, playing against adult players, not letting the sizes make any difference, because he's playing against 6-foot players. But today he ripped them apart down that left-hand side, and he could have quite easily had 4 or 5 goals. So great performance by him and a team and a name to look out for.
If he's listening to this, no pressure then.
No pressure. I think his dad was there as well, so no pressure. But, if he's come through that Onken system, then, you know, that's a credit to them, because there's a few good young players coming through. And I was getting told today by Tristan that 5 of today's starting lineup for Onken was 16 years of age. So future bodes well.
That'll be an excellent learning curve for them, and it's always brilliant to see, obviously, you know, younger talent coming through the teams and the divisions. So yeah, maybe a name to look out for. If you're listening out there, no pressure, I hasten to add. But it's always great to see, though, with the younger players coming through. But like you say, several players at the age of around 16 there. You know, that must be a good sign, like you say, for Onken as a club to have the faith, and obviously that, you know, the belief in them. They've clearly got the ability to be starting to play at this level.
Well, they've got an incredible market going at Onken. If you go down Blackberry Lane on a Saturday morning, there's 3 pitches at the top, just above Old Boys, and it's absolutely littered with kids. And that's what it should be all about, is giving the kids the opportunity to learn the game and be coached by good coaches, because there's some really good coaches at Onken. But then the important thing is to give them that opportunity when they reach that age. Sometimes it's difficult if you're going for things. You don't want to take a chance. You maybe dip them in a little bit. But I think Onken were one of the favourites to win this league, and I think David Rees deserves a lot of credit. He's just said, you know what, let's chuck him in. But I don't think it's a risk, because the 2 or 3 that I saw today, I just thought to myself, you know, like Tom Creer. Tom Creer could have had a hat-trick, and he wasn't on, I don't know how long he was on for, but he was always in the right position to have a go at the keeper for Braddon. And, you know, credit to them. And, you know, this is a great story, because when clubs really put a lot of time and dedication into developing young teams, and this is the reward where they start coming into senior football, that's what it's all about. And fair credit to all the coaches, the club and everything to make this happen.
Great stuff. Now moving on to Combi 2. And first one that's coming up here, St John's 3, Jim's 4.
Yeah, and I haven't got any old goal scorers for either of those games, but a good old battle. You know, St John's, I'm not too sure what the team is like. I think one or two of their players were brought into the first team today, but good 3 points for Jim's.
And another close contest, actually. Paul Rose 3, Colby 2.
Yeah, and well refereed this game here by Peter Crompton. I won't say Peter's age, but same age as me, and still refereeing. I could just about walk, and he's running. So credit to him. But for Colby, Jordan Edge and Ollie Waite got the goals. But for Paul Rose, a second hat-trick in two games. Another 16-year-old, Dylan Vick. You know, great goals, you know, good player. So another one to look out for in Division 2. But Paul Rose, 3 points there, so well done to them.
And then moving on to Governors Athletic and Maloo. Do you have an update on that one for us?
I do. It was Maloo 3, Governors 1. Haven't got the goal scorers for Maloo. But for Governors Athletic, it was Sam Liver. And just going back to the next game, Rob, Foxdale against Michael. Unfortunately, this game was abandoned. Sean Haggerton looks as if he's had quite a nasty injury today. And, you know, we don't know when it happened in the game, but just they decided to abandon it. So it doesn't sound good. So if you're listening, Sean, speedy recovery. And let's hope it's not too bad. Sometimes you can get away with it, but this one sounds as if it's quite naughty.
Absolutely wish him all the best there. Yep. All the best in a speedy recovery. And Braddon 3, Onken... No, I did...
Don't do that to them, you're getting
that was the previous one.
Yeah.
And it's switched around this one. It is still Braddon and Onken, but it's the other way around in Combi 2. It's Onken 4, Braddon 3. Finally got there in the end.
Yeah, Onken's goal scorer, Tom Lancaster. Well done, Tom. He got 2. James McNee got one, and George Ref Brewer, I think it is, got the other one. For Braddon, it was Mike Walsh, Tom Moore, and Will Gordoni. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Good game, by all accounts, this one. 7 goals always entertains, and it was Onken just came out slender winners, 4-3. One game to go. D&D against Douglas Athletic, I think it is.
I'm still getting all my stats out in front of me here. But do carry on, please.
Douglas and District 3, Douglas Athletic 4. Haven't got any goal scorers for Athletic. But for D&D, Rick Radcliffe got one. Daniel Kinley got a goal. And Luke Callister got the other one. Douglas and District 3, Douglas Athletic 4.
Excellent. You see, between us, we're getting there with the information. It's all being compiled together. Yes, if there are any outstanding results, please feel free to send them through to us. Tony, we'll come back to you in a second, but thanks very much for now. The Isle of Man men's volleyball team is currently competing in the UK for the first time in more than a year. The side is in Manchester today, in fact, for the prelims of the England National Cup competition. The men's squad members, Cameron Bell and Jason Philbin, and women's squad member Natalie Wood, told Rhiann Evans more about it.
Mixture of excitement and nerves. I've not been playing long, so this is my first official game. So there's that on it as well. But all over and all, we're excited to go away and compete.
Brilliant.
Very excited.
When was the last time you went over to compete then?
I think it was last year. We went to a charity tournament in Preston. That was pretty good. We actually won the tournament, which was nice. A nice little milestone for us. And yeah.
Awesome. So what's your game plan going into tomorrow?
I think the be-all and end-all is just to have fun. I know that's very cliche, but... I think it's just to instill a want to play more volleyball in the guys that are already playing and push further and harder. But obviously, to win, to go out hard and play
fun,
the best
we
can.
To win.
Yeah.
It's the perfect combination. And Natalie, you play for the women's team, and I believe, are you competing in the same competition but in 2 weeks' time?
Yes, that's right. So the men are playing in the preliminary round because there's a few more men's teams entered in the tournament. And us women will be playing on the 26th of September, so 2 weeks' time, yeah.
Brilliant. And how are you feeling going into it?
Very excited. Definitely looking forward to getting some competition in because obviously on Ireland there's not as much of interest in the sport as of yet. So we're trying to grow that within the club ourselves. So having being able to go away and play a women's team is really nice, because at the moment it's a lot of men's teams that we're playing, so it'll be awesome.
Yeah, and we see that with a few sports on the island. So there's only one women's basketball team, only one women's rugby team. And I have to admit, I'm ashamed to admit, I didn't know much about the volleyball team on the Isle of Man. It was just a chance that I saw it on Facebook. So how are numbers for both women and men?
I think we're definitely starting to grow over the past couple of months. I don't know if it's just coming out of lockdown, people are looking for something to do or what's happening there, but I think we've almost got a full 12 women, which is, you need six on a court at a time. So that's quite impressive for us lately. And I think we've got enough, about 24 men who come. So almost two men's teams at the moment. But like I said, we're always looking for new members as well. So anyone wants to come out and give it a try by any means.
How long has the Isle of Man had volleyball squads for?
Well, I believe there was a club that existed before the current club. Unfortunately, that sort of stopped. But luckily, a few members from the old club decided to continue it on as sort of a social club. And over the past few years, it's grown and grown. I mean, on Ireland, we'll look at putting together our own league, which, as far as I'm aware, will be a first. Could be wrong, but we've got four teams so far for that. So hopefully, as the years go on, we can grow that on Ireland, plus compete in the UK as well.
Anyone who hasn't played volleyball before, how would you describe it to them? What could they expect?
A lot of sweat. A lot of, you know, it's harder than it looks. It's harder than it looks. But I mean, I've only been playing 2 years, and it's a very welcoming environment as a sport in general. There's a lot of respect and within teams, and yeah, it's just really fun. It's different. So,
how often do you train?
We've currently got four training sessions going at the moment. So Tuesday nights we've got women's, Wednesday night men's, Friday nights, that's when we're hoping to start our league. Currently it's just kind of fun mixed games, but starting in October that will be the league sessions. And then Sunday nights we've gone into team training, so the teams who are playing in the league will be having an extra training session on Sundays.
Fantastic. Well, those are all my questions, but is there anything else you guys would like to talk about at all?
Just to mention, I guess we'll be live streaming the games going ahead. So, like I said, tomorrow at 1 p.m., it'll be live streamed on Facebook. And then on the 26th of September, it'll be 10:30 a.m., we'll be live streaming that one as well. So just, like I said, keep in tune to our social media pages and you'll get all the information on there.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Rhiann Evans speaking to the Manx volleyball teams there. And also, to find out more information, you can head on over to the Isle of Man Volleyball Facebook page, and you can find the link to that at manxradio.com if you'd like to take a look. Okay, and now moving on for the moment. As I said last night, I can't tell if it feels like it's been a very long time or an incredibly short time, but nevertheless, the hockey season got underway today, and it's also been the return of the mixed hockey leagues as well, which were absent from last season, which of course was disrupted around restrictions around COVID-19, for example, but the season got finished. Anyway, to take us through all the fixtures that have been happening on the opening day is Sam Spooner. Sam, are you there?
I am indeed. Can you hear me okay?
We can just about hear, I believe. Yes.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, let's get things underway here. So in the mixed leagues, let's start with the Premier League. The first one that I've got here was the an interclub derby, in fact, Backers A versus Backers B.
Yeah, a really good half-time result for Backers B. It was 2-2 at half-time, but ultimately Backers A, I think their fitness and their, you know, their professionalism shone through in the end, and a 9-2 win. Backers B's goal scorers were Matt Greenbank and Alex Lace. And Backers A, Elliot Reid, with three, one of the best young players in the island and future captain of that A team, I think. Sophie Howland with two. Tony Bentley-Roberts, Pat Cox, Gareth Craig and Jamie Brown each with one. And they take the league leader spot for the opening week.
All right. And to another one that was also at the NSC today, Vikings A versus Ramsey A.
It went the way I expected, but Ramsey A gave much more than I thought they would. 4-1 victory for Vikings A ultimately. Alex Neil on the score sheet for Ramsey A. Vikings A's goal scorers was Eddie Cayley, Tom Burrows, Grisha Foxton and captain Tim Henderson. So yeah, another really good result for Vikings A today.
And then out to the West Coast, Valkyries A versus Vikings B.
Yeah, the three teams that you'd expect to be at the top of the league are there now. Valkyries A running out 7-1 winners. Valkyries A's goal scorers are Luis Novo-Smith, Robin Masson, Ollie Webster with two each, Kieran Gell and Alex Freer with one, and Vikings B scored a consolation goal through Dom Hubble.
And the other one I've got down here is Castletown Celts versus Valkyries B.
Yeah, close game here, to be fair. Stevie Ronan scored two from short corners to give Celts the victory 2-1. Valkyries B's goal scorer is Jack Gentry.
Excellent. And now moving on to Division 1, we had Backers Colts versus Vikings C.
Really, really close game, this one. It really was a tale of two halves. The Vikings C probably nipped the first half in terms of attacking opportunities. But Backers Colts came back right before the halftime whistle blew and scored from the last touch of the first half to level it at 1-1. Charlie Bell opened the scoring for Vikings C, and Kieran Ledridge had a really, really good game today for Backers Colts, levelling the score to make it 1-1. Second half, it was pretty much Backers Colts who had the better attacking opportunities, catching the tired Vikings C team on the break quite a lot, but they couldn't quite find that goal they needed. Vikings C, they did have a couple of chances in the second half, but ultimately 1-1 I think is a fair result.
All right, and then back down south for this one, Castletown Cushags versus Valkyries C.
Yeah, Cushags unfortunately couldn't get on the score sheet today. Valkyries C, they've got some serious strength and depth with Valkyries. Chris Thomas with four, Steph Cottier with two, Bobby Hempsall with one to round off a 7-0 victory.
All right, and then back going right back up north here, Ramsey Ravens versus Harlequins A.
Yeah, this one went the way I expected, with Harlequins running out 5-1 at winners. The goal scorer for Ramsey Ravens was Jordan Parkinson. Harlequins A, their goal scorers were Ronan Santanatolia, Chris Cave, Oren Blakemore, and Ewan Wiley got two.
Now, this is a division that's dominated by Castletown teams. There's three in there. Two of them were playing each other today down south, Castletown Southerners and Castletown Camacs.
Yeah, I mentioned I wasn't quite sure which one of these is the second team, and I think looking at the players and the standard that they've got on Southerners' side, definitely say they're the second team. I might be wrong. Please text in 166, 177 if I am and correct me. But Danny Kelly got two for Southerners with Andrew Winstanley after recently moving from Saracens following their collapse, meaning that Southerners won out 3-1 winners. Eden McCubbin got the consolation goal for Camags.
It's all happening in Castletown today because I'm now about to go through to Division 2. We've got Castletown Cosney and they played Valkyries D.
Yeah, it was, again, a really tight game here. Valkyries D running out 2-1 winners. I haven't got the Cosney goal scorer yet, but I can't check my phone right now because I'm on it. Valkyries D's goal scorers, though, were Ellen Barker and Mark Moyer, and that sounds like a very strong Valkyries D team.
We're still with Castletown, by the way, here, because we have Castletown Carrick, and they took on Vikings D.
Yeah, Castletown Carrick, I think they're the sixth team in for Castletown. Vikings D, they've got some real strong young players coupled with a couple of the more experienced players as well. Mark Doherty coming back to play hockey with their two goals. Becky O'Brien with two. Katie Eric on her full-time return from injury, getting on the score sheet. And the young Becca Kelly, daughter to Danny Kelly, funnily enough.
Moving on then, Ramsey Rookies versus Vikings E.
Yeah, Ramsey Rookies ran out 4-0 winners here. Fairly convincing against Vikings E. Alex Shimon, Paul Hunter, and then Dan Stevenson with two for Ramsey Rookies.
And the final one in that division, Harlequins B versus Backers C.
I didn't quite expect this result. I thought Backers C might have a bit more strength and depth, but it looks like all those young players that they might have been able to use were on duty for their Colts team today, who were brilliant. But Harlequins B, 3-0 winners, Ben Cunningham with two, and Corey Corkill. Watch that name, because he's going to be a monster of a player in the future.
I'm sure we'll find out soon enough. Anyway, as well as the senior leagues, we had some under-16s fixtures. We had Vikings versus Backers B.
I don't actually have the results for them at the minute. I haven't had time to put them all down on a piece of paper. But bear with me.
That's
one
absolutely
second.
Fine. It's all coming through, I know. But just so those know, the under-16s fixtures today were Vikings versus Backers B, Valkyries versus Harlequins, Castletown A versus Backers A, and Ramsey Rogues and Rascals versus Castletown B. We may hear more about those later on. But Sam Spooner, thanks very much once again, and we'll see you very soon.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, moving on slightly, in terms of rugby on the islands, the seasons locally haven't really started in full just yet, but there is one Manx side that is already underway. They had their second game today, which is Douglas, competing in North and West of the English Clubs Championships. They were looking to bounce back from a very narrow defeat last week over in Lancaster to Vale of Loon. They lost 24-20 in overtime, an absolutely heartbreaking result. Well, they've been out on the road once again. This time they've been heading to Cumbria, and Dave Griffiths is here to join us right now to tell us a bit more. Dave, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Rob. It's not been a good day for Douglas. Played two, lost two is how the stats will...
Looks like we can't get hold of Dave just at the moment. We'll try him again in just a second. Turning back to the football just for a moment. Some may be wondering why there isn't a game for FC, or no result rather, for FC Isle of Man. They're not playing this weekend. They have a week of rest. They won last week, stormed to a 6-1 victory on the Wirral, actually, against Camel Lairds. Fantastic result on off the back of two previous defeats as well. Anyway, their next game is next Saturday, the 18th of September. They are travelling to Stockport Town. Now, we're going to try this again. We're going to see if Dave is going to join us to tell us a bit more about the rugby this afternoon. Dave, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon, Rob. Hopefully this time. Douglas has played...
No, it seems that we are not getting hold of Dave at the moment, but hopefully... Dave, are you picking up at the other end?
I certainly am, Rob, and Douglas haven't had a good start to the season.
Voices must have just been going back and forth there, because in my headset here, you sound like a very distant voice indeed. But glad to have you on the end, and good to have you here. Yeah, so obviously, Douglas, let's get down to it. They were over in Cumbria today. What can you tell us about the result there?
Yeah, it's not been a good one for Douglas, Rob. 48-7, the final score. And they were hoping and they were encouraged a little bit because Penrith lost heavily at Stockport last weekend. Douglas, with that close defeat away at Vale of Loon, thought they might just have had a sniff this afternoon, but that was quickly dispelled. The home side ran in two tries in the opening 10 minutes, led 12-0. Nathan Gibson, on his debut for Douglas, pulled one back, but even with Luke Highland's conversion reducing that deficit to 5 points, from then on, though, it was one-way traffic. Penrith ran in two more tries before half-time when they led 26-7 and scored a further four in the second half, and the defence held firm and prevented Douglas from crossing the whitewash. Douglas now got 2 weeks off. Their next scheduled game was against Broughton Park next Saturday. That's been postponed because of the travelling difficulties Broughton Park are having. They're going to try and slot that in a little bit later in the season. And the next game for Douglas will be away at Bowden on the 25th of September, where they'll hope to do a little bit better.
Now, we understand, obviously, you've mentioned there the like restrictions around COVID-19 and flight schedules, that the next three games might be on the road at least. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, the problem's not so much around COVID, Rob. It's around the flight schedules. And it all sort of stems back to pre-COVID when Flybe went bust. Flybe had that lovely regular service on. Logan Air have stepped in, but they haven't quite got a Saturday schedule that suits travelling rugby teams. And it means that the teams scheduled to visit the Isle of Man can't get in and out in a day, which is the RFU guideline for away travel. So the winter schedule for the airline looks a little bit better. Douglas will be hoping to get some home fixtures come the middle of October there and thereabouts. But yeah, the first five all will have to be played away. But that Broughton Park game, they've not been able to get that on. So that's going to be nudged forward to one of the free weekends during the season. And their first five, aside from Broughton Park, will all be scheduled to be played away. It's a little bit disappointing, but the flip side of that, of course, is that they will have five home games a little bit later on in the season, and hopefully they'll be able to consolidate their position from those.
Well, best of luck to them in that, and they'll be hoping to bounce back at Bowden, obviously Manchester way next time around. Now, the team, as we know, has had a couple of already has a couple of confirmed long-term unavailability, and a couple of players, and there were a couple hanging in the balance today. Coming off the back of today's game, has there been any change in regards to that?
Yeah, not had any reported injuries from today, but it's a little bit early in the day for that. We'll find out, and probably I think training at Portishead will be on Wednesday night, and that's when everyone will have a chance to have iced the weary limbs and decided whether or not it's just a knock or something that's a little bit more permanent. But with having a free week next Saturday, the guys have got plenty of time to recover from little aches and pains before that next game against Bowden.
Excellent, Dave. Thanks very much, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers, Rob.
Well, that's just about all we've got time for today. We've managed to get there in the end. Thanks once again to Tony Meppam on the footballing side of things, Sam Spooner with today's hockey results, and Dave Griffiths with an update on the rugby. Hopefully Douglas can bounce back. It was a heavy defeat today, but every cloud and all that. Well, I hope that's the mentality going forward anyway. Anyway, that's all from us today. We're now going to be passing back over to the wonderful Christy DeHaven for the rest of the hour. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. And whatever you're doing, have a very pleasant weekend. Bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.